Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Tyler and D-Mac will be back on Monday. I'm Ron Sheeran alongside Denver 7's Troy Rank. Here on The Drive, taking you up till 7 o'clock, then Nick and Cecil, as we get ready for Game 3 tonight, Nuggets, Suns. And the more I thought about this, Troy, and maybe I'm overhyping it, but it really feels like a bit of an iconic moment in our local sports history tonight, because it's the first game of near full capacity since this dreadful pandemic came upon us over a year ago. And I started to think of, you know, friends and family I knew who, you know, got emotional. I mean, my daughter saw my parents last weekend for a birthday for the first time in like 2 years, because now they've gotten their vaccine shots and they came to see her. And now we're at like another one of those hurdles tonight to be able to watch an indoor game down at Ball Arena, packed with Denver fans, cheering on the Nuggets and cheering on Jokic winning the MVP award. It's pretty cool tonight. It's a pretty cool experience. If you want to call in, if you're on your way down there, 303-713-1043. Troy and I would love to kind of hear your thoughts on going to the game tonight, what you're looking for in the game tonight. But pretty cool moment in Denver sports history.
It is clearly another milepost in our, you know, our recovery, if you will, from the pandemic. I mean, it just seems crazy that, you know, essentially March 10th of last year, sports went dark for the most part, and now we're finally back to a near full house at Ball Arena, and they're going to feel that. I mean, basketball is a momentum sport. It's a sport of runs, and don't think that the crowd doesn't play into that.
It did in game one and two down in Phoenix.
It certainly did, and it did in game two against Portland for the Nuggets, and that was without this attendance. But, you know, the Nuggets fans are a wonderful group. I mean, they're so supportive of that team and into it, and they need them tonight. I'll be honest. I mean, I rarely say like the fans can make a difference, but when the Broncos have been great at times, those folks in the South stands made a huge difference for the defense and teams having to eschew the audibles because they couldn't hear. Nuggets fans can make a difference tonight, and this is a very winnable game. I would believe, I'm saying they're going to win this game. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I mean, this is a game they can win. I don't care about what happened in Phoenix at the end of that game too. Game one was more representative of what this series could look like. And I believe back home, Jokic getting the MVP, Barton going to be at home, MPJ is going to shoot. But I just think, Mart Raj, they're going to win this game.
I actually have them winning tonight as well. I think it's the most winnable game of the series for a number of reasons. I do think the emotional lift of having a full capacity crowd or near full capacity crowd at Ball Arena, combined with Jokic's MVP award, combined with Barton's had a, you know, another game to get back. You know, there could be a natural letdown factor for Phoenix, although I don't think Chris Paul will allow that to happen, but it could. I think if you add all those factors up, I think it's the most winnable game of the series for the Nuggets. If, you know, my prediction going in was I thought the Nuggets would lose in six. I probably amended it now to like five, but I do think it's a winnable game tonight. I think it's going to be a cool environment. And look, who knows? Because you win tonight, if you're the Nuggets, you win tonight, you're one home win away, as crazy as it sounds, from evening the series. That's it. You win tonight, and hey, you're one win away, and suddenly series is even, and who knows? It's a best of three, and you still have the league MVP. As dire as it may seem, being down 2-0, the old George Karl adage, series does not begin until somebody wins on somebody else's floor. And as of right now, hasn't happened.
And that exactly. And that's why this team can make it a series tonight by winning at home. You know, I've joked that maybe they need Cliff Paul to show up instead of Chris, but Chris Paul is guardable. His age, 36, like there's ways to defend him. He's going to get his, but you can't allow him to be comfortable at the three-point line and in the paint. Like it's a one or other proposition here, but they've got to run at him. They've got to get the ball out of his hands sooner. They've got to change and make adjustments, because Michael, called this team out, basically said they quit. I mean, he essentially said his team were dogs in the second half. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They just quit on him. Well, when you do that, we're going to know early on how his team responds. And even absence of them finding motivation from that, I just feel like they're going to get the caffeine boost from the crowd. The key is, in when I've watched these NBA playoffs these last few years, certainly, you know, let's take the bubble out of it, but when you watch NBA playoff basketball, you want to play with emotion, but not be emotional. And sometimes at home, you get emotional and you try to do too much. And now you look up and you're down 18-4 because nothing's going in. You want to play with emotion, but you don't want to redline to the point where you're emotional and you're reacting to every call and you're getting, you just have to play off of it and the energy of it. And that's why I think they're going to win tonight. Phoenix isn't a great team. They're a good team. They're a good team, Raj. I don't look at this Phoenix team and say, oh, that's a great team.
I look at them as a good team that are playing great right now. And I look at the Nuggets as a good team that is struggling a little to find their way. You mentioned Michael Malone's comments. Baylor called in. Baylor, you're on the drive. What's up, man?
Hi.
What you got?
Well, after game two, they played like hot garbage. And honestly, Coach Malone's post-match interview was definitely a momentum booster, pushing the team into, hey guys, we really got to win this. The sense of urgency is definitely going to be felt tonight. And I think Coach Malone's words were definitely a good thing and not a bad thing.
Thank you, Baylor. 303-713-1043. We haven't really talked about this concept, Troy, because we've been kind of looking at it through the prism of the negatives of what Michael Malone said after game two. Look, he, for the most part in the time he's been here, he's pushed the right buttons with the Nuggets. Could it work again, what he did after game two? Could it motivate? Could it inspire the Nuggets heading into tonight's game of, hey, look, we got called out by our coach again. Got to rise to the occasion at home.
I mean, they have responded to him at different times when he's called them out for effort. I just think you have to, you can only cry wolf so many times as a head coach during the postseason. And this might be the last time he's probably going to push that button, because at some point, again, the players start to say, when is it we and when is the coach separating himself from us? That it's when we win, it's because of our coach, and we lose, it's because of us.
Sure.
But sure, they can be motivated by it. There's nothing worse you can be called in sports than quitting.
Right.
Your effort. It's one thing to say we lacked effort. He went to a different place that said we quit.
And I don't know if I can find five guys.
I don't even know if I can find five guys that can put out effort. That is a stinging indictment. That is the word scathing was invented for that, because lack of effort is criticism. Saying guys quit is a scathing indictment. That's different. So we're going to know early in this game. Again, the reason I say it's a little bit misleading is if you don't play with energy tonight as a Nugget and effort in front of that home crowd in the playoffs.
When are you ever going to play with energy?
When would you ever do it? Like, this is what you've wanted since last March. A full house, your people, your crowd.
Right.
Everything's going for you. So if effort's an issue tonight, that's why I think it's easy to then say, oh, see, he called him out. Look at the effort. It would make sense if tonight was in Phoenix and we saw it, like, okay, they took the message. They're going to play with energy and effort tonight because they're home. I think that's
completely and one of the oldest things in basketball is, because I think it'll show up on one end of the floor. Look, whether your shot goes in or not, most will tell you defense in the sport of basketball is effort, and it is
effort,
energy,
attitude,
that sort of thing. So, look, if Chris Paul's the guy we're zeroing in on, that look, if you want to have a chance tonight, you're going to have to control Chris Paul. First player with 15 points, 15 assists, and zero turnovers in a playoff game since Chris Paul in 2014. If you're gonna corral him a little bit tonight, it is gonna take more effort. It's gonna take a collective defensive effort. You know what I mentioned earlier? Maybe you throw Aaron Gordon on him for experimenting or tweaking a little bit here and there. But I think overall, Troy, it is a collective team effort to not let him beat you. And look, you can't allow him to drive and kick out to Jay Crowder for open threes. He's proven to you he can bury them. You can't have him setting up Ayton in perfect positions or throwing alley-oops to Torrey Craig. You can't have that if you're going to expect to win. You're too much of a disadvantage from a firepower standpoint that defensively you can't let those easy things beat you. Look, if a guy goes one-on-one, if Chris Paul hits a step-back three and you're in his face, tip your cap. You can't have defensive breakdowns and just make it easy for them tonight.
Right, exactly. You can't have him getting into the paint, getting his way with that fall-away jumper or alley-oops or a cutting Ayton for an assist. Like, you've got to make it harder for him. You've got to make him just work harder. Even if he gets his, you got to make him work harder to do it. And that's doable, whether that's you move Gordon to him for some possessions, You look to get Marcus Howard with some speed. I just think you've got to mix it up a little bit on how you guard him. Gordon can't be the sole guy on him, but he can provide length at times.
Right. That's what I'm championing is just flash him a little bit, a couple switches, you know, using some different defensive concepts. You have to make an adjustment from game one and game two. It can't just be we didn't play hard enough. That's not going to work. 303-713-1043 is the phone number. Riley, you're next up on the drive. What's up, Riley?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Super.
Just wanted to see, you know, going based off what we've been seeing here. You know, MPJ goes off or Austin Rivers come back. I was going to see you guys have you got any hope of maybe signing Austin Rivers off for next season?
What do you think, Troy? Would you re-sign Austin Rivers based on what you've seen?
Well, I just don't know that, and it's a good call. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. I just don't see the spot if Jamal Murray's healthy. I mean,
you made a financial investment in Morris.
Morris.
And obviously, you'd have Murray coming back. And I'm assuming Barton is back. Yeah.
Baku's back. He's not going anywhere. I just don't know the fit. Now, if you were to move on from Barton, I mean, for some reason, maybe. Now, Rivers, again, his play in the end of the Portland game where he won it with three.
He has to shoot better than 4 for 12.
Yeah.
The issue
with Rivers, and I get why the car likes him, because Rivers plays with confidence that belies his ability at this point. Mm-hmm. He plays like he's still a Duke at times. Like, I love that about him. But he's not that guy anymore. But if he's not making shots,
he's
hard to have on the floor because he is a defensive liability. But there's nights where you heat check him. He's hitting threes, and you get 12 to 15 out of him. And the crazy thing is the night he buried Portland, he was awful up until that point. And he got hot. So you don't want to just go away from him quickly if he starts 1 for 5 from the field. But you have to be cognizant of how long can we wait for him to get hot, because he is giving up points on the other end. So even if he scores 15, he gave up 20. We start playing the plus-minus game. But maybe you keep an eye on him. Remember, he was a free agent. He was out there. But I just don't see with a healthy Murray, and if Barton's back, I just don't see the fit.
Nuggets and Suns tonight, Game 3. Rod Sharon and Denver 7's Troy Rank sitting in for Tyler and D-Mac today on the drive. If you're on your way down to the arena, love to talk to you. Call in 303-713-1043. Denny's next up. Denny, what you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be making it to the game, but I will be watching. You know, you guys brought up the momentous milestone of seeing a packed arena after a year. But basically, my point is, you know, after losing Murray, I anticipated losing some shooting. But I've always been old school and believing that defense will always trump that. So I'm going to be keeping an eye out for, you know, defense and rebounding, because that's been kind of lackluster lately. And I think Zach Bye put it best in saying that you can't fake being starving. You got to be starving. So I want to see some hungry Nuggets tonight, man. And that's all I got.
Thanks, Danny. Got to be starving tonight. That is something Zach would say. You can't fake being starving. That's a good Zach Bye-ism. And look, defense, it's effort. We want to see some desperation, quite frankly, from the Nuggets tonight. And, you know, you can't allow yourself to get bullied by Ayton inside. You know, Jay Crowder's been such a presence in this series. You know, look, basketball, especially in the playoffs, is a who has the better player sport. I know every sport is, but basketball especially. And yes, the Nuggets have the league MVP. But so far, at least in this series, even if Jokic has been the best player on the floor, which arguably hasn't been, Phoenix has had the second, third, fourth, and fifth best players on the floor. And that's going to be tough to overcome without greater effort and especially greater defense, because they're not a great shooting team. And that's tough in a shooting league right now, that they're not a great outside shooting team. Even these extremely below average numbers that they've been getting recently from Morris and from Faku and from Austin Rivers, even if those come up a little bit, Troy, they don't have the true knockdown shooter. This team's severely missing a real 3-and-D guy.
That's Porter when he's hot.
When he's hot, he
can change a game.
But there isn't a guy when Phoenix is game planning, when Monte Williams is doing his game plan, that he's like, we cannot leave this player open from beyond the arc. He will bury it. The same way Michael Malone is likely telling his team about Devin Booker.
Right.
We cannot leave him alone from beyond the arc. He will bury it. Or in the case of Jay Crowder, he has proven he will bury it. They don't have that guy. That's you talked earlier about what the Avs are missing. That's really with the Nuggets. I know we're all talking about missing Jamal, but as a team, heck, they missed it last year in the conference finals. That just pure knockdown outside shooter. They don't have that. So I used the analogy earlier. You don't want to go into a gunfight with a butter knife. Phoenix has the guys that can do that. if you're Denver, you got to win a different way. You have to win defensively. You have to win with, as you mentioned earlier, motion on offense and guys getting involved and Jokic getting the ball to cutters. That's the game plan if you're Denver tonight. Don't do what you've done in the last couple games, especially game two, and try to outshoot the Suns. I promise you, it won't work.
I think you got to go a little easy on the Crowder. Like, you're his agent? Do you have, like, a fan club burner account?
This dude, every year in the playoffs, is on some team making an impact deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's on something. He's on the no context, I shoot whenever I touch the ball. Now, listen, when he's hot, he's really good. But I think you're overstating his value, especially on the road. But the caller's point is valid. They need to live on the offensive glass. I've always said this about Porter. You know when he's having a bad game, when he doesn't rebound. He should be, at the very minimum, fall out of bed, 16 points, 10 boards.
Right.
He's 6'10". He should be getting 7-8 offensive boards. And I want to see that version of him. He needs to have 20, 22 points, 8 to 10 boards, and at least 6 or 7 on the offensive end. That's how they win. And don't settle for the 3, MPJ. I don't need an off-balance 3 falling out of bounds 6 seconds into the shot clock, as Richie, our producer, was telling me earlier. I see that shot too much. If you don't have it, hey, old school pump fake. Get to the hole. Get to the rim. Get to the foul line. Slow the game down a little bit. Instead of letting Phoenix go on an 18-2 run as you keep clanking clankopotamus from the three-point line.
You know who wasn't clanking? Jay Crowder, 6 threes. Tommy, you're next up, 3037.
What do you think of the refs in game two? Were they screwing us?
No, they were not, Tommy. I think the refereeing has not been an issue at all in this series. I honestly, and I know it's a hot-button topic, especially in NBA playoffs of refereeing. I truly, honestly believe, and call me naive, I typically believe the best team wins in most games. And why were the Nuggets not getting to the free throw line? Because they were settling for fadeaway three-point jump shots. So I'm not blaming the referees on this one. I'm not playing that card.
Yeah, I mean, there's times Jokic, I think, doesn't get the benefit of the doubt and the respect of an MVP. But you have to put yourself in position to get fouled. Fall away threes, kicking out your leg, hoping. Hope's not a strategy. And times when they don't go to the line, it's easy to look at the stats and go, oh, man, the Nuggets only had 8 free throws. Well, look at their shot chart. They start settling for dumb threes early in possessions. You're not even giving the refs a chance to be a factor. And that's where Chris Paul hurts you. He gets inside. He gets it to Ayton 5 feet from the basket. Now Ayton either does a little hook shot or he's going to the rack. So you have to force the refs to be a factor, and that means at times you've got to get to the rim.
You have to make them make a difficult decision, make them blow a whistle. And look, you're going to be at home tonight, so it's all going to be set up for you to do it. But I don't think it's had anything to do with their losses in game one or game two. I feel like they've gotten outplayed, and I honestly think in most games, and again, might be naive, and I think a lot of people might disagree with me, but I typically don't believe they make this massive impact the way people insinuate that they shift games one way or another. Troy, it's going to be a really cool environment, I think, down there tonight, though, regardless. And look, even if the Nuggets lose, the mere fact, look, we're back packing in an arena for a playoff game in Denver, Colorado. It is pretty cool. I mean, you know, for doing what we've done, what we do in our jobs. I mean, Troy, you've spent the last year and a half for Denver 7 trying to cover the Broncos and Rockies on Zoom calls. I mean, this is the world we've been in. What's it like for you as a reporter, a guy who, you know, you spend time covering all the teams, you know, here in town, to be able to tune in tonight and have some kind of flashback to quote unquote normal?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever took it for granted because we just spent 14 months covering sports kind of without sports at times. Mm-hmm. And I like storytelling. I mean, I got into the job because I love writing. I didn't get into it because I was a fan. Like everyone that covers sports is a fan on some of them. I love writing. I love crafting stories, but it's just so different watching professional sports without the energy of the crowd. Because some colleges, my kids go to college, they play college, but you don't really have crowds. Like, we forget, like, most of these things are unique to big-time colleges or pro sports. And to have pro sports, it's just like a concert when acoustic. Yeah, I like it for one song with the lighters out. I didn't like it for the whole concert. And now the energy's back, and it can make a difference. We've seen it in Phoenix. And where it makes a difference, and Raj, you follow the NBA more closely than I do, it's a sport of runs.
It is.
So a 10-2 run at home with the crowd suddenly can become a 20-4 run. It can become a 30-8 run. Like, it'd be, you crowd can play into that.
Yeah, you get them behind you. I mean, look, and I was talking a few days ago with a couple of our colleagues that are our sister station down in Phoenix, and the Torrey Craig alley-oop was like more than just a basketball play to them. It was like the reopening of the world in Phoenix to see that crowd explode and be back in that arena in that moment, to the point where they're talking about it being one of the most now iconic moments in Phoenix sports history. As crazy as it might sound, just like a innocuous alley-oop in game one of a second round series. But because we haven't had crowds at games in so long, and now we do, and to have that moment for them, I understood what they were talking about. I didn't think it was hyperbole. It would be similar context tonight with a full crowd or close to it, a Ball Arena going nuts. And if at some point in the game or a big run and the crowd is and the Nuggets are feeding off that emotion, and if MPJ knocks down a huge three, or there's a thunderous, you know, dunk thrown down by Will Barton or whatever it might be. And look, you work in television sports, Troy, in sports, usually when there's the big play at home and the crowd's going crazy, where do they cut to? The crowd. And we haven't seen that in over a year. And we saw it instantly with those kids in the Suns uniforms just losing their mind on the alley-oop. If you get that tonight at Ball Arena, it's going to be a really magical moment in Denver sports history, as crazy as it might sound. For a game like this in a series that you're down a year, you might not win a title. Like, Denver sports fans are going to be out tonight in full force. It's going to be special.
I think that's what we're going to look for tonight, is the team response to the criticism by their coach, getting called quitters. They respond with effort, energy, attitude, all things you could control as an athlete. And then they accent it with this final boost, this RPM you're going to get from the crowd. You need to, again, thread that fine line of play with emotion, not emotional, and let the crowd carry you through some of the tough moments. And they're going to hit shots because they're home. Teams always shoot better at home. And I think that's where we're going to see it. It's going to be rugged a little bit at times. Phoenix is playing well, but this sets up for the Nuggets to play better offensively and get enough stops where they can win this game.
So much of our tone today has been about coaching. What buttons does Michael Malone need to push tonight? We'll talk about it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
D-Mac will be back on Monday. I'm Rod Sheeran alongside Denver 7's Troy Rank here on The Drive as we move closer and closer to Game 3 between the Nuggets and the Suns tonight. And, Troy, we spent so much of the show earlier on talking about Jared Bednar's future and Michael Malone's future. I'm curious, what buttons does Malone need to push tonight heading into the game? He had his moment after Game 2. We've all heard it 50 times by now of calling out the team. So what do you say to the team for the pregame? What's the response? You have to have the other conversation of, all right, guys, I already called you guys all out publicly a couple nights ago. You're going to show up? You know, yeah. Is it that, or do you?
We always think of it like
message.
In our caustic, jaded minds of like a Seinfeld episode or something. He's going to walk in like, boys, two words, don't quit. Like, he's like, it's not like that. He made a point. I could just see him saying, because when I've watched those speeches, like, they're not Newt Rockne speeches.
Yeah, not rah-rah.
At the professional level, guys have to be self-motivated. Sometimes you just need your coach. For me, it's more strategy than anything he's going to say.
Yeah.
But it's literally like you hit on it perfectly, Raj. Playing before our fans, man. It's a full house. Think of how much these crowds have meant to us over the last couple of years. Our guy is getting honored, MVP. Let's not let this moment get away from us. Let's go show them. You know, let's go show them what this means to us. This night, being back in front of our fans, you know, I joke with one of my baseball teams a couple years ago, like, some people make millions, some make memes. Let's go make millions tonight, boys. Let's go make money tonight in front of our house, our crowd, our people. Show them what it means to cheer for the Nuggets. Like, that would be my message, is really unique to this moment of our fans are back. Show them what that means. Show them what they mean to you through your effort. And I think that's what, that would be the simple message.
Yeah.
The better message, the more important thing is the strategy of guard Chris Paul, because he's not going to be Cliff Paul, and make them uncomfortable. And your guy Crowder is going to have a bad night. I know that.
I love how Crowder has been established now as my guy.
Oh, my God. You say Clam Chowder. You like him more than Clam Chowder. Is there any Crowder? It's like Crowder, Chowder. Like, is there anyone?
I don't know. Clam Chowder is pretty good. It's such a top Clam Chowder.
It just seems like he's your guy. I was watching him the other night, and I tweeted, the more he shoots, the more proportional it is, directly proportional to the Nuggets winning. And he literally made like three threes right after that. Because he was just shooting stupid stuff. It's just out of context. Everybody's open, and here's Crowder just fired it up. And, of course, he just gets crazy hot. He is a good player, and he played last year. I believe he was with Miami, right?
He was with Miami last year in the finals.
He's a good player. I just think he's defensible. He's not going to be that guy.
I'm not saying he's a superstar by any stretch, but what he has been is a thorn in the Nuggets' side.
Yes, because they haven't had a guy to match that.
No.
Tonight, they will. Michael Porter Jr. is going to play well offensively. And they're going to have Jokic.
If Michael Porter Jr. plays well offensively tonight, they win.
Yes.
If he doesn't, I don't know.
They lose. It's not a – they lose. Who would cover it?
Could a Will Barton get hot? Could a Monte Morris get hot tonight?
I mean, Barton could, but I don't. What do you drink? You have, what is in that teacup of yours? I like Faku. He's a pest. He's a hornet. He's a pest. If your answer to the Nuggets winning is him getting hot offensively, I would take off that Mile High City jersey right now.
What's your answer for Chris Paul? We're counting on Faku tonight to really take it up.
Faku's got to outscore and out assist Chris Paul. Then we win tonight. Look, I like Vaco too. He's a pest. He's going to be fine. MPJ is the key. 20 to 24 points, 25 points. But if he doesn't shoot well, they lose because they don't have an answer. Monte Morris will play better. He's too good not to. They're going to win tonight.
I'll give you a big key we actually, ironically enough, have not talked about a lot tonight. And that's the guy getting the trophy tonight.
Jokic?
I want to see Jokic thoroughly outplay Ayton on the box score.
Then get him out of the box. Get him out. Bring him out to the three-point line.
I mean, this can't be Jokic scoring 24 and Ayton gets, 15 or 16 and it's just kind of a margin. No. Like, you're the MVP. You're getting your trophy tonight. It's your night to shine. This is your night to lead Sports Center tomorrow and show the world why you're the MVP. And look, all those other factors are important. Michael Porter Jr., Will Barton, the guards we've talked so much about, but I'm not trying to disparage what Jokic has done so far in this series, because he's been far from their problem. But I thought Reggie Miller made a great job illustrating this. I think it was in game one. Ayton and Jokic is borderline a wash at this point, and you can't have that. You can't have that if you're the Nuggets, especially without Jamal. You can't have the MVP and Phoenix. Well, Ayton is a very good player. You can't have it be a wash. He's got to be the thirdly better player tonight.
Yeah, he's got to have like 32, 12, and 8
yes.
type game.
Yes.
And the problem with the first two games is while he's played fine, he's been almost neutralized by Ayton's production. And their production of the two of them has been similar. That can't be the case. And Jokic, they need more motion in the offense so he can get his assists. And he's got to get off the block. I want him to bring Ayton out to the perimeter at times, because Ayton can't guard him out there. Ayton can guard him in the low post. That's where he's good. Get Jokic out on the three-point line. Let him facilitate from there, pass, and then cut back, then post him up with Jokic in motion. Jokic just setting up and, getting position on the block. I don't need that, Jokic. That's Jurkic. That's like an old-school big man. Mm-hmm. I need Jokic out in the front, creating stuff from the perimeter to give himself more options both in passing and with the perimeter.
Well, what makes Nikola so unique is that he can do all of those things. And so it's only a value when he's doing all of those things. And yes, he's a special player on the block, but he's special in those other ways, Troy. That can really help push it over. I think you're on. I think you're on in terms of, the usage and the strategy, which, again, puts a lot of pressure on Malone. Look, coaching at home in an NBA playoff game is different than coaching on the road. On the road, and I know the NBA is a game of runs, so it doesn't mean that the home coach this doesn't apply to, but boy, when you're on the road, timeouts, knowing the right time to call those timeouts and stop those runs is so critical. When you're at home, it tends to be built in a little bit more for you. So from Malone's standpoint, I'm looking more for defensive matchups. And like you mentioned a little bit with the offense and the motion. But for me, I think the Nuggets have to win this game tonight on the defensive end of the floor, Troy. Because even if they do the things you're talking about offensively and they play a little bit better offensively, they're just not equipped at this time to go firepower with Phoenix. They've got to play better on the defensive end of the floor. They cannot let Chris Paul control the game, be the general the entire game, which he has been throughout the majority of the first two games. They cannot allow that to happen. And quite frankly, speaking to like a Jay Crowder, they can't let those guys beat them. There's no shame in giving up 50 to Booker, okay, if that happens. Honestly, there's probably not a ton of shame in Chris Paul having a 15-point, 10-assist, no turnover game. There is some shame in looking up at the end of the game and, you know, Jay Crowder, whoever it might be, is the reason that you lost at home in Game 3. Can't happen.
Yeah, and defensively, they can play better. They know they can. They've got to win. Part of it is rebounding. That's a way that you've got to, you know, limit second-chance points. I do think you're going to see them use Gordon and maybe even Howard, but they're going to change their defense on Paul. I think they're going to run at him a little more, and I'm with you. I will let Booker get his. Chris Paul has to play, you know, good, not great. Because when Chris Paul plays great, he makes everyone on that team better. So I need him to play good, even if not mediocre. Because when he plays great, everyone gets better. Booker could score 48, and it doesn't necessarily make anyone on the floor better. When Paul plays well, their whole team clicks. And so that's why get linked on him with Gordon. Run guys out at him at the line. Make him get rid of the ball sooner than he wants. And if he gets into the paint, don't be afraid to double him with size. I mean, Chris Paul, the one thing he doesn't have is size. He can play a little bully ball in there, but he's not very tall. Get some arms. Make him make tough passes. So, again, I think they're going to figure it out tonight. That doesn't necessarily mean they would win a game four. But with this crowd, this night, your MVP, it's personal. You've been called out by your coach. Everything sets up for them to win tonight. Now, I'm not saying easily. I'm just saying this is the game. All these factors you've brought up, this is the game you win. Because if you can't win tonight, you're not going to win. I mean, then you're probably getting broomed.
Predictions and keys when we come back.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
D-Mac will be back on Monday. I'm Ron Sharon alongside Denver 7's Troy Rank. Troy, thanks for hanging out with me this afternoon as we're getting ready for Nuggets and Suns tonight. Cecil Lammy and John Davis will take over. John's in for Nick Ferguson, who is actually covering the game tonight at Ball Arena. So I'm sure they'll probably check in with Nick at some point. And Nick will be on DenverFan.com and social media tonight talking a little bit about the Nuggets game, Game 3. But, Troy, here we've come to tonight's game, and I think we're both predicting the Nuggets are going to win, but I want to dig in a little deeper with you of why do you think they're going to win tonight? What's going to be the key to the game, the biggest difference between Games 1 and Game 2? So go ahead, give me your pick and your big key of the game.
Well, Denver's 2-1 in the home in the postseason. They're a better home team. They're going to have a full house, and Michael Porter Jr. is just going to score. They're going to have a third scorer that's going to open up the floor for Jokic. So it's really going to come down to they're better, more complimentary offensively. They're going to feed off the crowd enough to get some stops defensively. They're not a great defensive team, but they're going to feed off the crowd to get some stops. But it's really going to come down to Michael Porter Jr. is going to score. We're going to look up, and he and Jokic are going to have a combined 55 points somewhere in that range.
I think tonight will I have a feeling it actually is going to be a blowout Nuggets win, honestly. I just think there's so many factors that are going to go that way. I'm not saying the Nuggets are going to dominate from coast to coast, but I think it's the type of game where, you know, the Nuggets could keep a steady 8 to 12 point lead and then maybe open it up late. For me, I think shots will naturally fall coming home and the emotion from the crowd. I think that will help. Their shooting will improve. But I'm looking on the defensive end of the floor. I think that's really where, you know, if Michael Malone calling out his team is going to have an impact, that's where it's going to be. Michael Malone calling his team quitters isn't going to make Faku's jumper fall any more regularly. That's not going to happen. But what it can do is increase the effort, increase the intensity on the defensive end of the floor. I mentioned earlier I want to see a big night from Jokic. I think Will Barton and Michael Porter Jr. can do a lot to pop offensively, and I'm looking at those guards as well. But the one player, my kind of like X factor for the night, Troy, and my key And it may not even necessarily show up in the box score, but that's Aaron Gordon. I think it's a defensive game. I think Aaron Gordon's the best on-ball defender on the team. I think he's the kind of player who can really thrive at home in an atmosphere like you're going to see tonight. He's the kind of guy who can, you know, run and be on the other end of those alley-oops, similar to what we saw from Torrey Craig in the first game. And I saw a bit of a toughness from him in game two that there's not a lot of on this team. I talked earlier about like the old Kenyon Martin factor, and I'm not going to go that far in terms of toughness with Aaron Gordon, but you know, we had the report that, you know, he was one of the guys who was really vocal after game one in terms of getting into guys in the locker room. And I could see tonight, you know, an Aaron Gordon, a guy who's, you know, really had a lot of success in his career in terms of like winning, looking at this as a real opportunity on a big stage at home in front of this crowd. So he's kind of my X factor for tonight. And look, it may not show up in the box score. He may only score like 8 or 10 points. I'm not saying he's going to score a lot, but he might be that guy at the end of the game that when the Suns players are in the locker room, they're like, shoot. I mean, that guy really got involved and, you know, made life miserable on Chris Paul and, you know, maybe got in Booker's face a little bit, you know, took Crowder out of the game, whatever it might be. But that's a big X factor I'm watching for tonight is Aaron Gordon. But I like the Nuggets. I could see this being a double-digit win tonight for the Nuggets. Home crowd, Jokic gets MVP, you know, rocking house at Ball Arena. I think those jumpers are going to drop. I think it's the most winnable game in the series for the Nuggets tonight.
Well, and Gordon has played actually well in these first two games. He and Jokic have been their best two players. Yeah. He's played with energy. You could tell he's loving this playoff environment.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he didn't come here, but why they acquired him.
That's why he was thrilled to come here.
You're right. Yeah. And he's feeding off of it. So I could see that. This is a game. I don't think they're going to win by double digits. I think it's going to be more in that 5-point range, and it's going to be uncomfortably close late. But I just think the home crowd's going to help them put it away in that last 4 minutes. Of an NBA game where you know, it is a make or miss league, and I just think they're going to shoot better at home enough to win. And I just, like we talked about before, I don't think it can be overstated. 18,000 back at Ball Arena, and the Nuggets crowd brings some serious energy. It's not like, oh, we're opening the doors and it's going to be a full house.
Golf flaps, right.
Yeah, and it's like watching a reading or, you know, open mic night for poetry. Like that Nuggets crowd brings real energy. So, again, they just have to be careful. Play with emotion, not emotional. Don't let anything early get you because you are home. You can always counter it at home. And I just, with Jokic, this is a statement game. Get the trophy. Show the world again why you're MVP. And you asked me before, what would Malone say to this team? I think it's very simple. You take it personally. This is your home crowd. These are your fans. They haven't been in this place for 14 months, show them why they love you. Show them why they love this team. Show them why. And I think that's what we're going to see tonight, is that just that extra layer from all these factors we've talked about.
I would tell you this. If the game is close, I think it really favors Phoenix. Because traditionally in an NBA game, a team against the wall and riding the energy of a home crowd while they're doing it, the longer things stay close, the more they clamp up. A great example of this was game six in Portland, where Portland was facing elimination. They're at home. And I remember as the Nuggets clawed back in the second half, I was texting with some of my buddies. I said, if this game's close going to the fourth, Portland will choke. And it's what happened. And that'd be my fear of what might happen tonight. If this game's a 5-point game, like you mentioned, with 5 minutes left to play, Chris Paul's going to smell blood. And that pressure will be on the Nuggets more than they've felt in a long, long time. If you're the Nuggets, your best hope is get this thing over with fast. Get off to a fast start. Ride the emotion of the crowd early in the game after Jokic gets his MVP trophy. Build up a pretty significant lead, and then you got to hold on. But if it's a back-and-forth affair, a game of runs, and it's that close late, that does not bode well usually for any team in the NBA at home with their backs against the wall. This is a game, if you're Denver, you really hope you are winning by double digits or more and just run them off the floor. That said, you're undermanned, as we've continued to talk about. So that is something it's easier said than done, Troy. But it's going to be exciting. Like in just over an hour, we're all going to be turning on ESPN, and we are going to see a packed house of Denver Nuggets fans losing their minds at Ball Arena. Well, freaking Denver Nuggets have an MVP winner getting his trophy tonight. I mean, how cool is that going to be? Regardless of where things go from there, what a special moment. And I know so many of you fans, especially you guys that are headed down to the game right now, maybe you're in the parking lot listening at Ball Arena, that you guys have hung with us and you've been watching Troy on Denver 7. You've been listening to us on The Fan over the last year and a half as we've been watching sports differently. Well, for a while, we didn't even have sports. And then we were watching it on television with no fans. And let's be real. It sucked. It sucked. Denver's one of the most amazing sports towns that you could find in the entire country, and the reason is you guys. So bring it tonight. It's going to be a blast to watch this game. Troy, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with me for the last 4 hours. Troy, like I said, Tyler and D-Mac will be back on Monday. I'm sure they're going to have a lot to react to. Hopefully, a 2-2 series on Monday. Go Nuggets. Nick and Cease are up next.